The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your word today. We know, Lord, that Your word reminds us that it shall not go astray, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I ask You, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, place words in my mouth that would build and encourage others. We know, Lord, we can stand on the foundation of Your word. We stand on the promises. And like the song said, we rejoice in the work of Your hands, Lord. Let this be a day of blessing and comfort those around us, Lord, and let Your word saturate our spirits, Father, so that we can become strengthened in our faith each day, Lord. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue on our journey through the Ten Commandments. We started at the tenth one. Then we moved into the ninth one, which was our thoughts and desires. And now we're going to move on to the eighth commandment, which is now a world of action. It says, thou shalt not steal. It's a bit blurry there. Can you see that or what? Yeah? Okay. So, unlike coveting, which was our desires, and the act of stealing, it's a physical action. It's become a worldwide problem, actually. Statistics will tell you that 3/4 of the people who steal from their bosses, from their employers. 1/4 of us will make opportunities to steal whenever we can. Some of us will steal as soon as the chance arises. And it's just a few of us who refuse to steal under any condition. Now, there's different types of stealing. Some theft, like burglary and shoplifting. Pretty obvious. And when this happens, and sometimes it targets our cars, our houses, our wallets, our handbags, it seems to target us as individuals, and that becomes personal. But there's more than that. There's theft against the councils, companies, organizations. It's become a major problem. Somebody said anything that can't be concreted could be stolen. Even the road signs. You look at the road signs today. Instead of them being made out of iron, they're being made out of fiberglass because they're absolutely worthless. Hospitals spend a large amount of money padlocking anything that's valuable. Sad, isn't it? Even surveillance cameras. You walk around, you see surveillance cameras, they've got barbed wire around them. They don't even trust the cameras. We as individuals, you look at the news every day, and it's shocking sometimes, and we demand stiffer sentences for all those yobos and those bogans that ransack homes and schools. But then there's theft that involves deception rather than physical effort. You look at consumer affair programs like Today, Tonight, or, you know, they're full of stories. Companies, mail orders, firms that don't deliver what they promise. There's those that prey on the naive, squeeze every cent out of their earnings. There's companies that offer you special reductions, but reductions that are not really reductions. They're dream holidays that turn out into be nightmares. I know, I copped one myself. The list goes on and on and on. You can carry on like this, you know. But theft is carried out sometimes by respectable people, men and women. They're people who fiddle the GST. People who dodge tax. Mortgage applications are manipulated. Shunky businesses, loans, claim dodgy figures. So it goes on. There's dishonest trading wherever you go, you know. Things are sold for more than they're actually worth. Very fine line between shrewd marketing and fraudulent misrepresentation. You find car salesmen turn down the mileage and clock in their clocks and cars. Computer components that don't actually do what they're supposed to. Passed off clothing, passed off as the real deal. All these things are illegal, or we despise them. But do we do the same thing when we want to sell our house? Do we actually tell people that the taps are leaking or places infested with termites? Are we really honest? That's the point. Then there's some acts of theft that get ignored because we imagine that they fall below some sort of imaginary line, unwritten level of what actually constitutes theft. Like taking paper from the office. A dozen sheets is all right. Yeah. It's not like I'm taking the full carton ream of paper. You know, we make phone calls from the office. We take a few paper clips, paper cartridges. There's thousands of ways we can steal from our employers. We take phony days off. I know I have. When it suits us. We take extended coffee breaks, little detours, go shopping. And we say, come on, they never notice. It's only an extra 10 minutes. Here's the excuse. They owe it to me. Yeah. They make enough money. Only yesterday, actually, the council, we're getting land, they're landscaping to make a park at the back of our estate there. And the council had dropped a whole lot of pavers and what are those things called? Sleepers. And I popped my head over the fence yesterday, and there was a couple of blokes who backed the trailer up and were just loading it on. And you think to yourself, wow. Don't these guys have a conscience? But no, we were once like that ourselves. You know, we've never had it so good today. Our house is full of electronics, wardrobes full of clothes. Our roads are full of cars, shops full of consumer goods. Most people today have two cars. You go on holidays every year. Maybe 20 years ago, you could only afford a holiday maybe once in 10 years. But the problem is, in order to get what we want, many of us have no problems helping ourselves. But let's look at what lies behind this strategy, the plague of stealing that we've come to live with. One factor is that we've made idols of money and things. You know, when we talk about idolatry, it doesn't really mean that there's a carved statue in our house or a gold image somewhere. It's more subtle than that. It's when things are worshipped as if they were God. You see, the thing with idolatry is it distorts the values of things. It corrupts us. It leads us astray. Fills us with false hopes and aspirations. You know, the worship of material things has been a temptation for human beings. Jesus spoke very bluntly about this. Can you have the next slide, thanks, Matt? Here's what he said. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So you cannot serve both God and money. See, the point here is when we make money our God, then we open the door to stealing. The epidemic of stealing, I've written down here, this, I love this line, because the epidemic of stealing that afflicts us is a result of having turned to possessions and wealth for fulfillment rather than the living God. Great line. You know, when we look at the Old Testament, we see David. He reached the very peak of his achievements as a king. But he said something, and it's in 1 Chronicles. We got that up there? Or did I? We have the next one, Matt? No, maybe not. I've written it down here anyway. Just leave that there. He said this. He said, he proclaimed that everything he had was not his anyway. It's God's. Let me just read this for you. See what it says in 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12, okay? I'll just skip through part of 11 and I'll go up to this line here. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted and head over all. We need to think about this because one of the things that affects our attitude towards stealing is we have a wrong understanding of our possessions. See, the thing is, we've got no right over property or wealth. And David goes on to say, he said, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Now, it doesn't, let me just put this down. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong to own things, okay? Don't get me wrong here. Jesus himself was surrounded by wealthy people. He enjoyed their food. He appreciated their gifts. In fact, some of his disciples were quite wealthy. They owned houses. They had boats. And that didn't cause Jesus any problems. See, the Bible makes it very clear that God allows people to be rich. Give them wealth and possessions. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you don't have wealth and possessions, then you must have done something wrong. But the point here is that everything we own comes from God. See, I don't own my car or my house or my bank balance any more than I own my library books. The difference is that when I give my library books back, the girl behind the counter says, thank you very much. The point here is when I give the things back for what God has given me, then he wants to know what I've done with them. And that should make us stop and think. We are accountable for what we have. That's the point. The another thing is, stealing insults God's generosity. God has given us many gifts. He delights in blessing us. He's abundant. The Bible lets you know that he's abundant, overwhelming, extravagant. Kindness is measureless. But, in fact, the Bible says this, and when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said this. He said, you know the grace of God. For although he was rich, he became poor, so that through his poverty, you could become rich. So here's the thing. So when we steal, what we're effectively saying is, God, what you've given me is not really enough. We demand more. And we show a lack of faith, trust in what God has given us. But like all the other commandments, I'm going to now show you ways in which we can combat this. I'm going to offer you some advice on how to avoid theft. First of all, we need to be brutally honest about stealing. Very few people will get up in the morning and say, look in the mirror and say, oh my goodness, I'm a thief. You're going to say that. But what you will hear is people say, oh, I got this. It fell off the back of a truck. Somehow it got loaded onto my computer. We need to take a stand in stealing. You know, some theft is so subtle, it almost seems acceptable. We get angry when we look at the crook that steals from a hospital ward or children's ward, steals their television. Or what about the guy who gets on the bus and doesn't pay his fare? Shouldn't we get angry at that? It's the same thing. Another thing we need to remember is the cost of theft, the damage it does to victims. I know a couple of years ago, or maybe 5 years ago, when we lived just up the road here, and I got a call from the police, and they said, I think your house has been stolen. Could you come down? And I went down, and there's a... You know the sense, the feeling that you get when you walked into a room and you know somebody has violated your privacy? There's some stranger has gone through your private things. It's an eerie feeling, you know? And sometimes the scars of theft take a long time to heal. You know, things that are gained illegally, they don't really satisfy. They don't satisfy. It's not a lasting satisfaction. It becomes habitual after a while. The first time you steal, you think, wow, I'm a little nervous. Well, I think I'll take that. The second time, you're not so nervous. The third time, you're quite bold and blatant. I know not long ago, just around Christmas time, we were standing outside Big W, and a guy walked up with his trolley, and they were had, you know, these little cases of Coke and Fanta and all that. And he just walked past, picked one up, put it in his trolley, and off he went. And you have to think to yourself, well, this is not the first time. Probably not, because to be so bold and brazen, you have had to have done it before. See, the thief will always want more. You know, there's a... Maybe I should have kept it here, but... If you read one... Have I got the next slide, Matt? Thanks. One sec. Maybe I missed it out. No. It's okay. Go back. Thanks. How about I just read it to you? It's found in 1 Corinthians. And so if you can turn to me, just turn to 1 Corinthians for a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And I'll just read it out to you. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, and here it is, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, and nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the point. Thieves fall into that category. But there's good news. I'm not just a bearer of bad news, there's good news. The thing with the eighth commandment is that the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can transform the worst of thieves. It's one of the few commandments where we can make restitution for things. You go to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and you'll see Zacchaeus. After he was shown love and acceptance, what did he want to do? He wanted to do all that he could to put things right. There's a funny story, which was in one of the books I read, and I just made a gentle note over here. It says, there was a guy who wrote to the tax department in Australia, and he said, I can't sleep because I've got a troubled conscience. So I'm enclosing a check for $100. And if that doesn't cure my insomnia, then I'll send you the rest. See, that's not wholehearted repentance. That's just a try, an attempt to buy your conscience the lowest price. Well, we need to live a life of integrity. You need to reflect the character of Jesus. Openness, honesty, justice. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. He watches over, he protects, he nurtures, he leads. But on the other hand, Satan, he's described as a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So stealing actually belongs to the evil one. Here's another thing. Ask yourself this question. Have you ever borrowed money and had no intention of paying it back? Think about it. Here's what Psalm 37:21 says. It says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." So you need to make amends. Simple advice. Go around the house, look around. Go into your garage and say, "Oops, I borrowed that. Maybe I should give it back." But Jesus summed it up well. He said, "In all things, in everything you do, do to others as you would have them do to you." That's the important thing. Another thing you need to do is hate greed. You know, when Jesus spoke about the rich, we don't want to put ourselves in that category. We just say, "No, we're comfortably off. He wasn't talking to us." See, money has a danger of putting scales in front of our eyes. The point is, where is your treasure? Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is." So when you get the smell of greed in your life, that's the time you want to sit up and take notes. Another thing is you need to practice is giving. There's a there's a tremendous amount of people here that actually blow me away with their sense of giving. Big hearts. I love it. So we need to make giving a regular practice. It's the best antidote. If we want to be like Jesus, then we need to be generous. You know, the best scripture is John 3:16. God gave his only son Jesus, so that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave. We need to trust in God. And here's the last one. There's a wonderful prayer here. It's found in Proverbs 30. Right? "Keep falsehood and lies far from me." I love this. "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God." Isn't it a great, great line? You know, let me just draw a conclusion here. Stealing, whether it's openly stealing, whether it's subtle, whether it's personal, whether it's impersonal, whether it's private, whether it's corporate, it's becoming part and parcel of our life today. It's the way the world operates. But when we live the way God wants us, then Only then can we make a difference in people's lives. It's because how we reflect the God that we worship. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, for your word tonight, Lord. We stand on the promises that you've given us, Lord. The laws that you provided are there to teach us, to encourage us, to build us, to reflect the character of Christ in our everyday lives. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We pray that we just not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, Lord. Teach us to live our lives worthy of your kingdom. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.